lot. I just don't blame Miss Megan one bit. If a fellow was coming down the street burning every building in sight and I was in the next one, I'd leave too, buddy. I mean, I wouldn't even have to wait. I'd be gone. I'd pull a hack snow. You're leaving town, buddy. It's like that song says, you can just call me gone, son. I'm out of here. No question about that. And I'm going to hang around. Somebody's going to burn me down. You know, there's fire bugs out there that does stuff like that. People are crazy. All right, I want to look in our Bibles this morning, the book of Hosea again, chapter number 2. Hosea and chapter number 2 this morning. And I want to read one verse, and that's verse number 8. I'm not going to take time to go back and recap everything that we've been through in this book. And if some of you have been here like Brother Tyler and Miss Megan, I'm sure they can, they know their Bible well enough, they can pick up on where I'm at and go from there. But we'll read verse 8. The Bible said there in Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Now let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning hour that you've given. I thank you, Lord, for the songs we've sang and the good time we've had together, the fellowship, the friendship that we've found. I pray, Father, that you would bless every heart that's here, those that are homesick, those, Lord, in our midst that are diseased in their bodies, those out there as well, that you'd touch them and heal them. We ask you, Lord, to help me this morning physically, spiritually. I need fresh oil. I need that holy anointing that can only come from you. I pray you'll provide it. Grant liberty, give unction and power. Help us to magnify you, say everything that needs to be said, refrain from saying anything that would displease you. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what all you accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Well, for the lack of a better name that I could come up with, and I don't come up with too many names on some subjects, and this is one of them, but I just simply titled it God's Free Provisions. And if you've been with us, and most of you have in the book of Hosea, we're dealing with the treacherous wife, the adulterous wife of the prophet Hosea, a woman that the Lord had instructed him to go and to marry and to buy from the market. He did, and she ran from him, and he got her back again. And the Lord is using her here in typology as the nation of Israel. Israel is the Lord's adulterous wife. There's no question about that. She played the part of many lovers. That is, she sought pleasure and satisfaction in this world, but God made a way that made it impossible for her to do that. He put up hedges in her way and a wall about her. She couldn't get through it, and she couldn't get over it. And he did that he might bring her back to himself. Now, I want to say again, I've said this so many times, but I'll say it again. That's just real mercy and grace on behalf of the Lord. Amen. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
This woman was set on going her way. Israel was headstrong on going on following Baal and living in sin. But God was determined that he was going to turn Israel from her sin. And by the grace of God, he got the job done. Now, the sin of Israel here is very, very near to the heart of God. It's much like a man married to a woman. I can't imagine what it would be to be married to a harlot. I can't imagine what it would be to be married to a woman of ill repute. And rather than spending time at home and looking to raise a family, that she wanted to spend her time out with other men beside her husband. But that's what we find here in the book of Hosea. And that sin that Israel was in went to the very heart of Almighty God. And God speaks here. as a man that is troubled in spirit, and for the unkindness and unfaithfulness, and even the unreasonableness of the dealings of his spouse or his beloved Israel. It'd be like you and I, either a man or a wife, either one, that was married to, I hope, a man to a woman to a man. But that showed unkindness toward this man that was showing her good. The Lord did nothing but show good to the nation of Israel. And that's primarily what I want to preach on here in a minute. The Lord showed nothing but good to the nation of Israel. And yet, Israel proved to be, show many acts of unkindness. She was unfaithful and was unreasonable. Somebody said, how do you know she was unreasonable? Because Isaiah said in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And as far as I know, Israel wouldn't even sit down and reason with the Lord about this particular situation. And it runs in his thoughts and in his heart until he becomes very grieved about it. God's thought about it. It's in his heart. And he's grieved about the nation of Israel. I wonder how God feels about you and I today. About his church. Now, the Lord, contrary to what a lot of people believe, he's dealing with the Gentiles in this dispensation. Now, I know Jews can be saved, Jew and Gentile both in the church, but like in Hosea's day, God dealt primarily with the nation of Israel. In our day, he's dealing primarily with Gentiles, which is everybody that is not a Jew. And that's God's dealing. People say, well, God's dealing with the church. Well, he does deal with the church. There's no question about that. But we're living in the days of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. And the thought of her unkindness was running through the thoughts of his mind and was in his heart, and he became very grieved about it. Now, I want to say again, I can't help but to wonder how the Lord feels today about America. I said in the Sunday school hour, some of you ladies weren't here, but I'll say this and try to be as kind as I know how. But I read yesterday where our federal government, and I give them the praise for it, had broken an undercover pornography sodomite ring of men. They had already arrested 43 men. And we're looking to get more. They said that they had just touched the tip of the iceberg. And these men were in the Netherlands. They were in America. They were in several different countries. And they were actually putting online, whether it be their fantasy or reality, pictures and then chatting about eating body parts of little boys. And that not only amazed me, but I'm going to be quite honest, it angers me.
Yeah,
and if it doesn't anger you, you've got a problem. Now, it doesn't anger me to the point that I'm going out here and play a fool and kill somebody. But I am going to stand against their sin.
Right.
They said the oldest boy that they found was a 4-year-old boy, and the youngest was 6 days old. I cannot imagine what kind of pleasure a man could find in a 6-day-old boy. I'm telling you, that troubles my mind. Now, those people are sick in their mind, but I'm going to tell you where the greater sickness is in their heart. I had a man to tell me on Friday. I said something about our Constitution. Our Constitution will not permit a practicing sodomite, lesbian or otherwise, to be a member of this church. Now, it doesn't say they can't come near the gospel, but they can't be a member. And they can't come in here disturbing it. We're not going to allow that to happen either. And this man said, well, you cannot keep them out of the church. And I thought, well, maybe you can't, but my Constitution and my lawyer says that we can. And he said, well, what about preaching the gospel to them? And I said, there are some of them that the gospel can't help. And you may not believe that, but there is. They're reprobate. They've gone beyond the help of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Somebody that would literally molest a six-day-old child, they're so depraved that I'm afraid that they have crossed God's deadline. They're not going to be saved. I don't care how much you preach to them. Salvation is of the Lord, and if the Lord is against that, He is not going to save that individual. Now, I'm not saying we oughtn't to preach the gospel to some. I think we should. But there are some that have given their self over to that lifestyle. They're going to live that way. Pardon the expression, come the devil's house or high water, they're going to live like that. Amen. And I tell you on the authority of the Word of God, they're not going to get saved by the grace of God. They're going to die in their sin and go to hell without God and without hope. The man said, you oughtn't to tell people that. Well, I just did, amen. And I'm going to keep on telling people that we're living in that day and in that hour. Now, here's where Israel is living. In the book of Hosea, Israel truly is living, as it said in the book of Isaiah. I'm amazed at how Isaiah and Hosea run so closely together on the subject of Israel. But here's what Isaiah said about Israel. He said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master, or his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And we find that so here in the life of the nation of Israel. For they said, the Lord said in verse 8, for she did not know. And I'm going to tell you, the lack of knowledge is destroying people. Now, I'll get to the message in a minute, I hope. But the lack of knowledge is literally destroying fallen humanity. They do not know. They do not understand. And some of them are so depraved and so far gone that they will never understand. Now, the people, they profess to know God, and they acknowledge that He gives them all the things that they stand in need of, and yet they did not know that He is the keeper of their soul, the provider of their life. Oh, they claim that He is, but they didn't know it. Now, come on now. They claim that they knew God. They claim that God had saved their soul, was a provider for them in the temporal realm, and in the eternal realm, but they really didn't know. In other words, they were just professors talking from their teeth out. And I wonder where the churches, Brother Gray, are today on that thought. Do we really know, that the Lord is a provider for the souls of fallen humanity? God only. God only. Somebody said, well, the food that I eat, somebody grew it. Yeah, but God gave them the ground to grow it in. Somebody said, well, the food that I eat, it grows out of the ground. Yeah, but God gave the rain to bring it out of the ground. I'm telling you, everything that we have today, we owe to the Lord. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been good to the nation of Israel. And He could not, I mean, He could, He's God. But in our terminology, God could not understand why Israel was conducting themselves the way they were. They were so unkind toward Him and toward one another. They were so unreasonable about the way they were living, and they were unfaithful to the cause of Christ. Now, I'm telling you, I've never lived in a more unfaithful generation, an unreasonable generation, than what we're living in today. I mean, you cannot set people down and reason with them about the Word of God. You can't reason with them about life or about death or about heaven or about hell or about the Word of God or about the love of God. You can't reason with them about that. They simply have turned it off and don't want to hear it. That's exactly who Hosea is dealing with here. A nation that just did not any longer want to hear anything at all about God. Now, I'm telling you, we're living there in America. We've got our mega churches. I mean, I've never met the guy. I heard preachers years ago talking about Rick Warren. I'd never heard of him. and still don't know much about it. But I've heard he's got a mega church. But he does. I wonder what he stands for. I wonder what he's preaching. I'm going to tell you, if your preaching don't line up, if your convictions don't line up with what you're preaching, they don't amount to a hill of beans. And I'm afraid today, men's preaching does not line up with their lifestyle. Now, they profess to know God, and they acknowledge that He gives them all things, and yet God charges them. They claim they know God. God gives them everything, but He plainly charges them. In verse 8, "For she did not know." She did not know. Do you know today? Are you satisfied in your heart this morning? I'll get to the message in a minute. I'm meddling a little bit. Well, are you satisfied in your heart this morning that God has given you everything that you have? I don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. God gave it to you. It matters not. I mean, God gave it to you. Somebody said, "Well, I work for what I've got." You sound like Obama. You know, if you built something yourself and worked and labored for it, give God the glory for it. Don't give the government the glory for it. They ain't helped you do a thing. That's right. I'm telling you, right? You might as well say amen. I'm just telling you what's right. They're trying to make you believe that, but I'm telling you what we have today come from the hand of God. Amen. From God's hand to our mouth. God has blessed us abundantly. And it's time that America, and especially the born-again children of God in America, stood up and realized and counted their blessings that come from Almighty God. For He has truly given us all things that pertain unto life and salvation and holiness and righteousness. God's given it all to us. God Almighty has. That's right. Now, notice also the mercy of God here. The provision that He made. The provision that He made in verse 8. He said He gave them corn. He said He gave them wine. He gave them oil. And give them corn, wine, oil, and silver and gold. Now, that's pretty precious. Most of that is. But notice here what her lovers gave her in verse 5. Bread. Well, you got to have bread. And water. But generally when you're in prison, they put you on bread and water. Now I'm here to tell you that, hey, that the worldly pleasures that Israel was looking for put them on bread and water. They could have had corn and wine and oil and gold and silver, but it put them on bread and water. Now I'm telling you, any time we turn our back on God and turn to the world and sin and ungodliness, God's going to put us on bread and water. You forget the corn, forget the wine, forget the oil, forget the gold, forget the silver. God will let us, God will let us live on the meager, the bread and water and the meager things of this life. Amen. Now, Israel's lover, as an idol, has more than one name. Now, I won't get to something. Just stay with me. It has more than, their little lover has more than one name. They called him Baal. They called him Baal. Now I'm going to tell you, there's still Baal worshipers in the world today. They're all over the Middle East. And they're worshiping Baal. Now stay right with me. It signifies primarily the Lord. And it also signifies and a husband. So they were looking to Baal as their Lord and as their husband. Rather than looking to God. Baal couldn't give them a thing. It was God Almighty that was giving them what they had. Because they attributed dominion to his idols. And acknowledging them to be Lord. But the plural of the word Baal is Balaam. Now Balaam, we found Balaam in Israel's march toward the promised land. We find we find Balaam there. And but it was introduced to Israel years before that. In Jeremiah 9:14, he talked about, he said, they have walked after the imagination of their own hearts and after Balaam. Now, Balaam is plural. That means many gods. They're not just walking after Baal, one god. They're going after Balaam, many gods. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. America is living there today. There's all kind of gods in America. Anything that you believe, anything that you put before God to deliver you from your circumstances that you're living in has become Balaam to you, a god to you. You can mark that down. Some people say, well, if I had a lot of money, I could be delivered from my problems. No, you couldn't. Hey, has Mitt Romney's $253 million delivered him yet? I'm going to tell you, somebody said, here you go on politics. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm a little distraught with that bunch of politicians. That man's got $253 million of his own, and they sent me a letter the other day wanting me to mail him $15,000. Let him mail us $20,000 to get back on the air. Somebody say amen right there. Another $100,000 to build our building with. Somebody say amen right there. I don't have $15,000 to give a politician. I can see we got some Democrats in here. But the idolatry of Baal come to Israel afresh and anew during the years of Ahab, the king. And it came because he brought with him, married a wife by the name of Jezebel. And I believe that her daddy's name was Ethbaal, which is really a part of a Baal. He was the king of the Zidonians. Baal also had additional names. Now you get a hold of this. Beelzebub. I said Baal-zebub, but also Baal-zebub, which signifies God of the flies. We talk about flies and call them Baal-zebub. We're not far from being right. And the reason they did, that country was full of flies, and they prayed to Baal because they felt like Baal could rid them of the aggravation of those flies in that country. So they come up with a god by the name of Baal. Well, I guess we're going to start bowing down and worshiping cans of rain. Fly swatters. See how ignorant people are. I'm telling you, people. That's right. Amen. I don't need to bow down to a can of rain or a fly swatter. No, sir. They'll get rid of flies all right for you. Now, stay right with me. I'm not in the message yet. In these countries were many flies. They attributed the power of driving them away and helping them against their molestation to their god, Baal. And here they called him Baal-zebub. You remember the Lord, when he cast out a devil, he said, he don't cast them out by God. This man's not a god. He cast them out by the prince of devils, by Beelzebub. Now, come on now. Are you telling me the prince of the devils is a fly? I'm going to tell you what. I don't believe the devil is a fly. But I'm going to tell you that egg sucker can aggravate you like a fly. But I'm going to tell you, he can escape you like a fly. You ever seen, ever tried to kill one? Every time you swat, he'd get away from you. Never, hey, and then he'd leave you alone. Then you sit down, try to rest. What does he do? He's right back.
Ain't that the way the devil is? Every time, hey, you swatted him, he'll run a little way. You sit down trying to find spiritual rest, and he'll be right down aggravating the absolute living daylights out of you again. Hey, and you, hey, he is a, that fly is a hard rascal to kill. Now I'm telling you, the devil is a hard rascal to get out of your life. In fact, he ain't going to leave you alone.
He ain't going to leave you alone. Now, don't nobody leave me now. There is also the idolatrous god, get this now, Beelzebul, which goes with the same thing. And it signifies, now come on, I hate to say this, God of the dumb. That ought to tell you where the devil is at today. God of the flies, God of the dumb, and here Israel is chasing after a God of the flies and a God of the dumb when they can have God Almighty, who is pure and holy and wonderful and true and has the power and the ability to reach down in the depths of their soul and lift them from condemnation, save them by His grace, set them in a righteous and a holy way, amen, lead them in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and cleanse them of all ungodliness, fill them full of the power of God, help them to overcome their sin, bless them not only with a few little bit of bread and water, but with corn, wine, oil, gold, and silver. Now come on, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. What a God we have. Amen. Israel used what they possessed to sacrifice to the Lord. And the gold and the silver that God gave them, they made images of idols and idols out of them. I can't imagine that. God gave them gold and silver and they used it to make idols out of it. That's what America's done today. I know we're running slow. Now, somebody says, you're sick. No, I'm not sick. I'm afraid some of you all are. But I'm telling you what we've done. God's given us gold and silver. And we made idols out of it. Somebody says, what do you mean? I'm talking about automobiles. Homes, anything that we can get a hold of that's got value, like diamonds and guns and jewelry. I say, oh, we got to have all that stuff, do we now? I'm going to say, why we can't have God is we're dependent on everything else but God. That's right. I've got this, I've got a fine job, a good automobile, a good house, money in the bank. What I need with God, I'm going to tell you, we need to stop and realize it was God that gave us all that. And God give us and God take it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord, He can take it away when He gets ready to. And if He wants to, He will. Now I'm telling you, I said a while ago, I'll say it again, Israel is going down, America is going down the drain. This bunch of sodomites and this bunch of child molesters and things is dragging us down the spiritual tube, and we're sitting by and letting them do it, and we'll not open our mouth and say one thing about it.
Amen.
You don't have to be a hate monger to stand against their sin. I stand against drinking alcohol. But I certainly don't despise a drunk. I used to be one. I was a drunk. God saved me. I'm not going to kick a drunk in the face. But I'll sure take a King James Bible telling about the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, some of these sodomites have gone too far for help. Some of them haven't. That crowd, like I was reading about yesterday, I don't know if there's any help for them or not, Brother Troy. I don't know.
I doubt it. But God help us, I'm telling you. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God's given us gold and silver, and we've used it in a frivolous way to try to buy deliverance from our sorrow, our grief, our way of life, and it won't work. It takes God. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. Lay it all aside, get on our face before God, and ask God to deliver us from the desires of carnal and worldly pleasure, and set us back on a road of holiness and a way of holiness that will eventually lead to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you ought to get angry. It's about time somebody got angry. I'm sick of the devil and sin. Amen. It's time somebody got angry. We'll spend more money on basketball games. They ain't got no money for the schools. Schools is going broke, fellas. But they still got enough money to buy basketballs, baseballs, footballs, soccer balls. Buses to haul them in and gasoline, money to buy gasoline to get them there. They send our young, send our people over to the Olympics. The egg suckers wants to charge them folks that won those gold and silver medals. They want to charge them taxes on the gold and the silver they bring back. Oh yes, so I said, you really mean that? Yeah, I really mean that. That guy, one guy, a swimmer, won all them gold medals. They want to tax that man on that gold he won. That's our country. You know why they're like that? Hey, look, I want you to look right up here. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. You know why we're fighting over this tax thing? Well, we want to give this class a tax break, and we don't want to tax these anymore. But we want to have this money and this money, and we want to have one. You know what the bottom line of it is? They want to control us. They want to control us. They do want your money. I like to see that one over there. I want to say one, first of all, and I have three or four things, I'm done. God's provisions to them was a gift. The Bible said, for she did not know that I gave her. Free. What did it cost her? Absolutely nothing. God gave. From salvation right on down the line, everything that we have is free. Hey. Salvation is a gift to the Lord. Jesus was a gift to you and I. Oh, yes, and God wrapped that little gift in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Hallelujah! And they came and worshipped him when he was a little baby. Somebody said, well, I'll make him Lord someday. No, he was Lord long time ago. Amen. Even before the cradle, he was Lord. He was Lord in the cradle, and he's Lord in his coming. He is Lord in creation. He is Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Better believe it. That's his wonderful name. That's right. Now, that's right. God provides for our soul and salvation. But God not only gave them his ordinances, but he also gave them corn and wine and oil and gold and silver. It is God himself who gives all outward good to his people. All outward good. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Now, I don't get ahead of myself. He didn't just give them corn and wine and oil for food. Gold and silver! Amen. Somebody said, well, you think God wants us to have? If we'll use it correctly, I know He wants us to have. Our problem is we want to use it for ourselves instead of using it for God. That's what they did. They took it and made idols out of it and used it for themselves. But I'm going to tell you, you'd be amazed at what God can do for people if they'll let Him, how much God can channel through them financially if they'll let Him do it. I think it was Letourneau, that fellow that built those earth movers and things. He started giving money to mission and giving money to the church. Hey, and when he died, he was giving 90% of his income to the church. and was living off of 10% and died a multi-billionaire on 10% of what he made. You ain't going to outgive God.
Amen.
The man that realized that God had given it all to him. Amen. Say amen right there.
Amen.
He also provides for our bodies, not only for our soul. Psalm 34:20, and I know this is talking about the Lord. But it said he kept all his bones. Somebody said, well, he's not doing a very good job on my body. Thank not. You better thank God for what you have got.
Amen.
Brother Gray told me in an office once, and I hadn't said a word. And he said, Brother Hall, I sure hope you get to feeling better. And then something I said, Brother Gray, I feel great.
Amen.
And I do. I'm not going to say I feel bad.
Amen.
I don't want the devil to think I feel bad. Not when I'm getting ready to preach.
Amen.
If the devil thinks I feel bad and I'm getting ready to preach, you think he wouldn't have fun with me?
Right.
I wouldn't tell that sorry egg sucker nothing.
Amen.
I feel great.
Amen.
I feel like telling you about the cross.
Amen.
And about a Lord that walked up Calvary's hill one day.
Yes.
Wearied and worn and beaten, amen, and crowned with thorns, and yet he walked up Calvary's hill, laid his life down on a cross, hallelujah, went to the grave, and 3 days later, under his own power, by his own strength, rolled the stone away and got up. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. What amazes me, when them women got there, that stone was rolled back. But when that and an angel sitting on top of the stone, do you think he rolled that stone back so Jesus could get out? No, he rolled that stone back so those women could look in. He is already gone. Long gone. Hallelujah. Amen. He provides for our bodies. Hey, we got a God that even numbers the hairs on your head. By the way, mine's falling out. He's got a job on his hands. Amen. Some turn gray and some turn loose. Mine's doing both. And give me a problem. And he can number the hairs on your head.
Yeah.
And he's given you the hair you have.
Right. Amen.
He's given you the body you have. Somebody said, hey, I'm awful. I feel awful. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you something. When I start getting the idea that I'm the only one in the world that's sick and bad, I just start thinking about somebody else. I was sitting there yesterday watching the news. They said, we're going to interview this man, give his name. Said he was hit by one of them IEAs or whatever it is over there in Afghanistan. And they showed this man. They showed a man. He said he was 6'4" tall. Said now I think he was down to 3'10" tall. He lost both legs and both arms, the IEA. And I sat there and I cried like a baby watching that. I couldn't help it. I saw that man was once 6'4" tall. Amen. And his body torn and ripped apart like that, trying to fight for your freedom and my freedom. And I thought to myself, Lord, I don't feel bad. Thank God my body ain't in bad shape. Look at that man. Amen. I'm an old man. I ought to feel the way I do. But there's a young man that lost both legs and both arms for the freedom of America. And we don't want to give nobody credit for it. We come to church and sit in here like God ain't done nothing for you. My carbuncle hurts. Well, you whoopee-doo and you're carbuncle.
Amen.
God help us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. And by the way, don't open your mouth about the military around me.
Amen.
I want to thank God for them.
Amen.
I want to say it again. I thank God for it. From the time America's been on the map, up until the day that we're living in, if we have the freedom that we have, we owe it to the men and women that wear the uniform of the United States military. Thank God for them. So I said, oh, we owe it to the presidents. What have they done? But send them over there. Now I'll tell you how dumb they are.
I hope I didn't tell you this story. One of the congressmen said the other day, Brother Steve, said, talking about that shooting that went on out there in Colorado, said they ought, said America ought to pass a gun law where nobody can have a firearm and handle a gun till they've had at least 2 years to learn how to use that weapon. They're talking about if somebody had one, they'd probably defended the situation there in that theater. This Congress, whatever it was, said, oh no, said they would have gotten nervous and probably shot somebody else or something. Said, you need 2 years of training on whatever kind of a weapon that you use. You've got to have 2 years training on. And I thought to myself, I would to God they'd put me on Hannity. When I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, they gave me an M14. I learned how to tear it down and shoot it a few times. Went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and didn't carry nothing because in a 105 unit. Went to Germany and went back to an M14. Did get 3 rounds of ammunition. 3 rounds when we went out on the airport out in the boonies. We had some of them spy planes out there fenced in, and we had to have 3 rounds of ammo out there. But I never fired an M14 one time in Germany, not one time. And I got to, they gave me orders to go to Vietnam. And the day I got to Vietnam, that orderly said, here's your GI, your government issue. They started giving me a canteen, eating mess kit, shoulder strap, ammo pouches, this and that, bayonet. He said, here's your rifle. I said, what's that? He said, an M16. I said, I've never seen one of them. He said, I don't know how to use it. He said, my advice is learn fast.
Right.
Now, here is a congressman that thinks we need 2 years of training to carry a handgun, and yet they'll send a boy into combat that's had 0 minutes learning on a gun. Don't bother them one bit to do that. But they, hey, but I tell you, when gun laws come up, they want to jump a straddle of that message. I don't know why I'm preaching on this. I'm telling you, it's not in my message, Brother Leroy. Any of you men in here have 2 years, I mean, every day training on a weapon that you carried before you went over into combat? I didn't, and nobody else has. They're idiots. They're stupid. And I said, preacher, what's wrong with you today? I'm ticked off. That's right. God's blessed us the way we have, and we've done God that way. He supplies our daily needs. Psalm 63:1 said, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. If we can trust God with our soul, which is our eternal estate, should we not be able to trust Him with our body and what goes on it and what goes in it, which is our temporal state? If we can trust God with our eternal affairs, we ought to be able to trust Him with temporal affairs as well. But I'm going to tell you, we find it hard to do many times. We want to take things into our own hands. Come on now. These provisions come as a free gift from God. The Bible said they did not know that He gave them. Men who are wealthy must yet appear before God as helpless beggars. I don't care how much money you got. When you appear before God, whether it be at the cross to get saved or at the judgment seat, whatever it is, you're going to appear as a helpless beggar because you don't have anything. Because, hey, it belonged to Him. We've forgotten about that. It's all God. The earth and the things therein belong to God. Amen. Give Him the glory. Or whatever has brought it out of this world and placed in your custody, God has blessed you with that. God's helped you with that. Amen. That's right. Now, listen carefully. We've got to understand our dependence and all outward comforts flow from His goodness as a free gift to us. Romans 8:32 said, He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, capitalize that word in your Bible, freely give us all things.
Amen.
Hey, if Christ was a free gift, the best God had, don't you think, everything else is free also, all things.
Right.
says it's free.
Yes, sir.
I look at the responsibility of man to know and take notice of God, that He is the author of good, and He is. For she did not know, but God is certainly the author of good. In worship, we thank Him. It is observed of doves. Now listen to this. It is observed of doves that every grain of corn they take into their bills, that they cast their eyes upward, as if to thank God for that little piece of corn. Anybody here got dogs? You know what dogs, the Bible calls us Gentile dogs. You know what dogs do? Hear their master? So they'll look up. But as soon as they get your meat, they'll look down. All they want is your meat. They don't show any gratitude for it at all. They look down. They come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm afraid that's the way Baptists are today. We want to look up and for the meat. But once God gives it to us, we just turn away and look down. Till it's eat up, and then we look up again. And that's the way Baptists are, most of us are. Hey, we want what God will give us, but when it's gone, while we got it, we look down, we're thankful, we got it, we're going to eat it. But once it's gone, we're going to look back up again. Start begging all over again. Need to stay beggars. Amen. Don't leave me now. Praise is the only rent that we pay to God for all the blessings that He gives us. Brother George said a while ago something about making, you know, jumping the pews or this, that, and we don't have to do that, no. But I tell you, a worldly man will not praise God himself, but instead he looks for and enjoys the praise of other men. We'll grow cold and dead if we do not. If we do good and men take no note of us. You know what we want to do? We want to do something good. Come here, Brother Doug. Brother Bell just done something real good. God bless you, Brother Doug. You done a wonderful job. I mean, brother, I couldn't have done that without you, man. You're the greatest gift. I mean, you're the best thing since apple pie ice cream, son. Oh, thank God. You know, Brother Bell's just a smile and everything. But if Brother Bell goes out here and does it, and I don't say one word to him, you know what he'll do? You know what Brother Bell will do? Come here, Brother Bell. Start thanking yourself. No, I tell somebody else about it.
You know what I did the other day? I helped the preacher out.
If God don't pat us on the back, we'll start telling somebody else about it and patting our own self on the back. Hey, that's called pride and vanity, folks. To pat yourself on the back. For the Bible said when you've done something for God, tell God you are altogether an unprofitable servant. And patting yourself on the back will get you nowhere with God. Nowhere. But we want it that way, Brother Troy. Praise God. You know what I done? Nobody said anything about it. You know what I done? Some of you ladies in here took some of these kids that been in Andrews, kept them and watched them. You have never asked for one favor for it. Some of you brought food and this and that, and some of you went to the funeral, some of you babysit, and so and this and that. And as far as I know, there's not been one pat on the back for it. And nobody said one word. That's Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. That's Christianity. That's right. You don't have to run and try to tell somebody else what we've done. I'm amazed at preachers. Guess what I've done? Now, what'd you do? Well, I done this and I done that. Well, I thought God did those things. God help us. Now, this is what I got, you know. We'll grow old. And men take no notice of us. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take notice of ourselves. And let everybody else know about it. Vanity and pride. Men's hearts. It is God's prerogative above His creatures to do all for Himself, for His own glory, and yet He doeth much good in the world that none see. It's God's prerogative. Have you ever stopped and realized that everything that God does for us is for His goodness, to bring glory to God? Oh, it's good to us, but it brings glory to Him. God does what He does to bring glory to His wonderful name. And I'm telling you, if we go around bragging about what we've done, we've robbed God of His glory. My Bible tells me He will not share His glory with another. And that's where humility comes in. We need a little humility about us. Be thankful with God. God's so great. You know, if we daily commit many sins that we know not of, don't you think that you probably sin and don't even know it? Well, can I let you on a little secret? We sin and don't even know it. In return, God shows mercy that we don't know anything about either. That's how good God is. He shows mercy that we know nothing about. We don't know how many times that we've avoided death by a minute, 30 seconds. How many times have we been driving down the highway and come up on an accident? He says, Lord, if I'd been there just a minute sooner, it could have been me. Brother Gray and I was driving over the parkway the other day. We're driving along, some guy in front of us. He's got one of them stupid telephones. About that time, buddy, here he comes across the white line. Brother Gray jerked, I slowed down. I said, I believe he wants both sides of the highway, Brother Joe. And almost done it. Let him get way ahead of us. And I said, you know something? I might put a scare in that old boy. I shouldn't have done it, Brother Chuck. I was in that convertible. I mashed her down a little bit. I was going to catch him and get up behind him a little bit. Brother Joe said, there it is. I said, and he was in front of me, and I just backed off. There's a state boy sitting there. I got her down to about 70 and cruised by. Thank God wasn't good. I sinned, but God showed me mercy. Somebody said, no, I don't believe that. You believe whatever you want to. This woman should have been in hell. Hosea's wife. Twice in adulteress. Twice he took her back. Israel took the Baal and made images of Baal and worshiped the God of flies and the God of dung. And yet Jesus, God, took them. And there's coming a day when He'll restore Israel. Amen. On this earth, friend. You can just mark that down. He'll restore it. Be a wonderful day. How about us in here this morning? How are we standing on this, some of this stuff? I don't know what all the priests doing. I'll tell you, I certainly didn't preach my outline, I can tell you that. I mentioned it, but I didn't preach it. But where do you stand today? Can I ask you one question? Do you have enough convictions worth dying for? Are your convictions about Christ worth dying for? If we don't have enough convictions to die for Him, we don't have much conviction. That's right. It's time that we got some. I can tell you that. Some things that we will and will not do as God's people. That's right. Some positions that we'll take. Oh, now, you know, we're big to stand against Sodomites and this and that until they start protesting outside the church door or something. Then we're going to, you know, or until law comes down. I had a letter, pretty good letter from the mayor of our city years ago, condemning me for some things that were said over this radio station. The messenger put an article in the newspaper and called me a narrow-minded bigot by name. I still buy their newspaper. They can call me whatever they want to. Doesn't bother me a bit. I've still got convictions. I'm still going to stand on them by the grace of God. Let's stand.